Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
She's penned some of the most powerful worship anthems we share today, and she's out with a brand new collection of new songs. But there have been moments when she really wondered if it was time to step away from music. We'll hear how God came alongside Meredith Andrews in unforgettable ways today and share the story behind her brand new EP, Faith and Wonder, as she joins us on the road. Welcome aboard, Meredith. How's the day treating you so far?
My day's great. Thanks for asking, Ryan. I actually got to work out this morning. My kids are out of school on spring break, and so they were just all doing their own thing. We finally installed Alexa in our house. Ooh. You know what I mean when I say Alexa? So we have one in our kitchen, one in my boys' bedroom, and one in the master bathroom. And so I have three children. So whenever their sibling is not listening to the song that they want to listen to, they will go find the other Echo or, you know, Echo Dot and just be like, Alexa, play so-and-so. And it's just funny. There's like three songs going on simultaneously in my house. And I'm just trying to work out. And I'm like, well, hey, at least they're preoccupied and having their own little dance party. So good time. That's what my day has consisted of so far.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you for a look inside the smart home.
Yes, right. Well, we're trying. We're a little behind, but it's okay.
So there's a lot that's special in the new music here, the just released EP, Faith and Wonder. Your first release that's recorded live, and with that, you also get the chance to feature your church family in the audience. Has the journey of this project been quite a unique blessing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just so cool to get into a room of people, most of whom I know, most of whom are, you know, like you said, church family. These are people that we're in community with, and they just showed up to worship, and it was such a sweet night of just getting around the throne of God together and lifting up our song together, and they sound amazing. And it was an awesome process just getting to do a live record at my home church.
One of the things that we don't think about as much as fans of the music, I think, is the process behind it. And I was reminded by another artist recently saying, you know, when people come to the concert, they expect you to sound like your studio recording, which is, you know, you have as many takes as you want, and then you piece together your favorite ones. But this is such a different thing that you do when you do a live recording. I mean, I imagine there's unique enjoyment with it, but unique challenges as well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because you're in a room full of people and anything can happen, you know, whereas in the studio, you get to control the environment a little bit more. But that's why I love doing it. I love doing it live so much, because to me, it just felt like church. And this is what I do. I love to lead worship with a bunch of people in the room who are hungry for the presence of God, but it definitely has different challenges, you know, and, but I think they're fun challenges, nothing that was too stressful. And my husband produced it and he did an amazing job. And he's the kind of person where he'll just set us up to win. And that's what he did. We did some pre-production on the front end so that he didn't have quite as much to do on the back half. But it all turned out great. And it was such a fun experience. And I'll never forget that night because it was so significant. Just the way that people were able to press into God and encounter him and be changed in his presence. And that's all I really wanted.
It is pretty fun reading about it, experiencing the music, knowing that you and your husband do so much together on this. I mean, you write together, that production team together. That must be a pretty special thing to be able to do your calling, to live out your calling in your ministry with your husband like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's, again, not without its challenges. Because my husband is a songwriter and a producer, and I'm the one who travels. You know, I don't travel all the time, but a lot of weekends, maybe 3 weekends a month or so, and then there's some weeks that I'm gone. But it's always a little bit tricky navigating that, but also a blessing. And so we're always leaning into this, okay, God, what is this season look like for us and for our family? And what are you saying yes to for us? Because I'm just learning, Ryan, that the older I get and the less time I have, you know, with having a family and being in ministry. And so I just want to be really intentional with the things that I give my yes to. And so my husband and I are continually kind of keeping check on one another and our kids, and just going back and saying, God, what is it that you've called us to right now? And what is it that we need to lay down? But it is such a blessing just to get in the studio with him, to write songs with him, because he knows me better than anybody else. Mm. And then to get to have him as my producer. And I just trust him completely with music. He's a genius when it comes to music. And so everybody's like, well, do you guys get along? And do you agree with how it should sound? I'm like, I pretty much just default to him. There's only a couple times when I've been like, oh, I think I want to do it this way instead. Because I really do love his intuition when it comes to music.
Was that a difficult process? Because so many of us, 2019 gives us access and opportunity to do more than ever. And with your schedule, I can't imagine, but the art of saying no, I mean, was that a difficult skill to develop for you?
I mean, I'm still developing it. And yes, because I don't know if you've heard of the Enneagram, but I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, which is the achiever. So basically, my life doesn't feel worthwhile unless I'm doing something purposeful.
Oh, of course.
I'm the kind of person who will look at the calendar and go, oh, I have a blank space. I should fill it with something, you know? Yeah. And God's like, no, actually, you should just breathe and rest and be, you know? So it has been a process, honestly, and the Lord has been so patient with me. And also very firm and going, hey, I didn't call you to that. Sit down. This is your time to just hide away for a little bit. Seek my face, get some revelation, be with your family and rest. And that is definitely counter to who I am. So it's been a learning process day by day, but I'm trying to just be really intentional and pay attention to the decisions that I'm making and the things that I'm saying yes to, because I guess I always thought that if I said no to someone, then I might damage a relationship. But
yep.
We can't live our lives that way. You know, we can't live our lives to please other people. And the truth is, too, if I say yes to something that God hasn't called me to, then that means that somebody else is not getting an opportunity to do what it's actually somebody else's chance to step up, you know?
Whoa.
So I have to be really intentional and careful just to listen to what God is saying and to only say yes to his invitation.
Wow, that's a great word. Thank you for that.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're listening today thinking to yourself, man, I've heard that voice before. Where have I heard that voice before? It's Meredith Andrews, the recording artist, the songwriter, and the worship leader behind the just released EP, Faith in Wonder. One of the phrases I ran into reading about the project, a reviewer coined it, I believe, saying listening had the power to turn your surroundings into a sanctuary. And had to think as I read that, I smiled. I'm thinking that's pretty much exactly what you were going for, wasn't it?
Absolutely. No, that's exactly right. Because, you know, when we're walking through life, whether it's mundane, routine, or chaotic, in the middle of all that mess, God wants to meet us right there in the middle. You know, we don't have to like clear it away and get to a we don't have to necessarily even walk into a church building. That's why, like, I'm a songwriter, because I know that songs speak to me, and I can turn on worship music in my kitchen when I'm doing the dishes, and I can have an encounter with God. And that's what I want for people, just to be able to, when they hear these songs, be transported to a different place with the Lord, where they go, you know what? My circumstances don't seem so insurmountable. This chaos doesn't seem so overwhelming, because I know that God is with me, and I can just choose to worship, because praise is going to precede our miracle, right? Like, if I just choose to step out of the noise and the chaos and the confusion, but I choose to step into peace, and I choose to step into joy and the presence of God, God is going to meet me there. And that's where my perspective shifts. And so I know for me, every day, as a mom, as a wife, as a, you know, a minister of the gospel, I need a perspective shift every day where God just reminds me, hey, I'm right here. I've never left. I have something for you today. Just fix your eyes on me. And that's what I want this music to do for other people too.
The track Open Over Us really grabbed me. The second verse opens with, You are not a stranger. You are only ever father, provider, healer, defender. Because we all have those times where he does seem further away, but you know, you've been open with some of your own. Why was that message a big one for you?
Well, I think it's important for anyone to understand the character of God. And that's why this song is really significant for me, because even in the first verse, it talks about how God, you are not a faker. You know, you're authentic. You're not a taker. You're a giver. And I think that so many times maybe we have these misperceptions of who God really is. And he wants to reveal his true nature to us so that we are changed by it. And that changes our response. And it gives us this opportunity to go, God, this is what you're like. You're faithful at all times. You're not a stranger. And you actually move towards me when I feel like, I've messed up for the thousandth time, or I don't deserve your grace. God, you're not a stranger. You're father, you're provider, you're healer. And I just love to know the attributes of God and remind myself of who he is and his promises for my life, no matter what I'm walking through. And, you know, just that lyric specifically, I just come back to, God is always moving towards us. He never sticks us in the corner or isolates us or puts us in time out. He is always moving towards us in love. He is never a stranger.
Let's take it back a ways. Would you press rewind with us? Are you prepared for that emotionally for just a second?
Sure, I can do that.
There are rumors of you going around the house growing up and singing into a microphone or a pretend microphone, which was your hairbrush. Are these rumors true?
Right. Yes, they are true. I'm not exactly sure how they got out. I must have mentioned it in passing one time, and now all of a sudden it's become like part of my bio. And I'm like, it's a funny thing, you know, and that's, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Well, they really do. And you love to sing. I mean, from the earliest.
Yes, I've always loved music, and I probably attribute that to my mom more than anyone else, because she was a worship leader at our tiny little church in North Carolina growing up, and she would practice during the weeks, and I would just sit and listen to her sing, and I'd sing along. And so it just kind of took root in my own heart. And I've always loved music. So, and I still do.
And how about faith? Was faith something that was part of the story from the earliest as well? Or was that something that you encountered later?
Yeah, I actually gave my heart to Jesus when I was 5, 3 weeks in a row, just to make sure. I went forward at church like for 3 weeks, and my mom's like, "You're in, you're good. You don't have to do it every week." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I was wondering, you know. But, yeah, I've been walking with the Lord as long as I can remember, and of course that looks different as you grow and as you mature. But I have certain markers in my life where I can go back to a certain place or a certain moment, or, you know, when I was a certain age, and remember how God met me in that place and how he revealed himself to me and how he took me deeper and further into his presence and into his word. And I'm just so thankful for the grace of God at work in my life that I'm not who I was even 6 months ago, even though I've been walking with the Lord pretty much my whole life. Like, we're all moving from glory to glory, and we have setbacks, and we have moments where we feel numb or we feel disconnected or disengaged. But God, again, is always moving towards us, and he's the one that doesn't move, and he's always pursuing our hearts. So if we just turn and respond to that pursuit, and we turn and respond to that invitation, then we get back to this place of, okay, God, this is who I know you to be, and I'm going to rely on you, and I'm going to go further into who you've called me to be and who you want me to know that you are. And I just love that about God, that there's always more to discover of him.
Well, in developing your love for worship and that calling, you've talked about your Saturday night youth group growing up being a big influence as well. How so?
Well, my Saturday night youth group was something that kind of set the stage for me, and no pun intended, but in the way that we would just get together as teenagers on Saturday nights when we could be anywhere else, but we would just go after God and worship. And then usually my youth pastor would preach, but sometimes he wouldn't, because we'd just worship all night. But I think that started when I was about 13 or 14 and went, you know, throughout my high school years. And every Saturday night, that's where you would find me, at the Potter's House, because it cultivated in me this desire, not just for music, but more so for the presence of God. And I just had this hunger inside of me, and I would spend time with the Lord, you know, behind closed doors during the week in my bedroom, listening to worship music. And then, you know, more on Saturday night. So that's where I really learned to be a worshiper. And so it's kind of laid a foundation for me now to be a worship leader, but I always want to return to that place. I have to continually be a worshiper before I can lead people to that place as well.
Wow. Well, Meredith Andrews is with us today on the road, the recording artist, the songwriter, and worship leader behind the just-released EP, Faith and Wonder. So after you experience your high school years, you head to college and thinking you'll go into family and child development, right? But something kind of happens there at Liberty University that draws you really toward music. Was it a moment? Was it a process? How did God get your attention there at Liberty?
When I was at Liberty, I was on a traveling team that would sing and do worship conferences and missions conferences at other churches. And then my last 2 years, I was a worship leader for our campus. And so I would lead worship for all the campus services with a team. We did six a week, and I loved it. But I think I also had a desire in my heart to do missions. Growing up, I always said I was going to be a missionary. And I have three younger brothers that are adopted. My parents were foster parents, and I've always had a heart for kids, especially that have really tough circumstances. And when I was at Liberty, I started going on mission trips to Guatemala, El Salvador, Romania, India. And most of what we would do is work with orphanages. And so I started going to Guatemala once a year or twice a year, and just thought, man, maybe I'll move to Guatemala and work in this orphanage. But my junior year of college, I was leading worship for one of our campus services, and I was singing a song that I had led 1,000 times. It's a song called Sing to the King. And it was kind of like one of the songs that I just always sang at Liberty. And but something shifted in my heart that night, and it was like, I felt like I was on fire, and I was like, man, I think this is what God is actually calling me to do, and I need to stop running from it. And I just, it felt like whenever I lead people in worship and I see them engaged and I see them encountering the presence of God, it does something for my soul that I can't even explain, but it's the thing that makes me come alive. And I feel closest to the Lord when I'm doing it. And so I think, you know, so many times we're like, what is the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And I love what Graham Cook says. He says the will, so many times we treat the will of God like a tightrope, but it's actually like a wide open green pasture. So you just do this, you follow God, you seek his face, and you do what you love because he's put it there. And I think, you know, it just took me a minute to figure it out a little bit, and I still have a heart for missions. And I actually just recorded Faith and Wonder, the song, in Spanish a week ago, and I'm so excited about that first Spanish recording. But, you know, so that's fulfilling a little bit of that dream there. But, that's kind of where I just knew that this is what I'm going to be doing with the rest of my life.
That's an amazing moment, right? An amazing story. But it does seem, too, that the story of our lives rarely plays out in a straight line, right? Have there been moments where you've doubted that call, moments where you thought maybe God got the wrong number, so to speak, in that moment? And if so, how has he reached out to you in those moments and reassured you?
Sure. Well, I mean, back in those days, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it was, you know, maybe like 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
As a college student, I was continually wrestling with, Lord, what am I supposed to do with my life? And what is this supposed to look like? And where will I live? And all the things that you kind of, when you're on the cusp of the rest of your life and you're about to be launched into adulthood, you know. But even since then, there have been moments where God has brought me into more hidden seasons where, you know, I wasn't releasing new music, or I wasn't really traveling that much, and I had to wrestle with it a good bit. And God was just saying, this is a time for you to be still, to quiet your heart, to gain revelation, and listen for what I'm saying to you so that you will actually have something to say when you start writing again. And, you know, that season of rest, but sometimes that can feel, it can feel anticlimactic. It can feel like a step backwards, but it's actually really intentional. And I look at Jesus' life when he was, you know, on earth, he lived 30 years of his life in obscurity and then only had 3 years of public ministry. Mm. And so I'm like, if he took 30 years to grow and mature and to be, you know, commissioned per se, just to start doing miracles and the work that he had been called to ultimately die on the cross and rise again, like, well, who am I to think that I can just be activated overnight, you know? And I think we have to just lean into the process because it will ebb and flow, and there will be moments where you doubt, like, God, did you really call me to this? But maybe he's just asking us to press in a little bit deeper and further and just kind of find out and discover, like, what is it supposed to look like, God? And will you do the work inside of my heart? Because I know that he has to do a work in me before he can do a work through me. And if what he's called me to is going to be sustainable, then there's got to be a foundation of intimacy with him and integrity and true identity and knowing that I am who I am, not because of what I do, but because of what God says about me and because he loves me, because I'm his daughter. And I just think that that's important for us to remember. I'll tell a quick story in regard to that. When I had my first son, Maverick, who is now 8 and a half, but when he was a baby, he was probably like 8 months old, I had been nominated for 2 Dove Awards and was like over the moon, excited and honored. But I wasn't able to attend the Dove Awards that year because it fell on the Wednesday before Easter. And at the time I was working at a church. And if you work at a church, you don't go anywhere the week before Easter. So it was Wednesday before Easter and I was home. I had had this moment that morning with the Lord. Maverick was taking a nap and I was watching all these YouTube videos of all these amazing female worship leaders. And I just thought, God, I don't know if I'll ever get to that place. You know, maybe you're calling me to lay it down and maybe you just want me to be a mom in this season. And if that's what you're asking of me, then I say yes. But I was weeping. I was crying. I was like, you know, kind of going, God, are you finished with me? I just want to know. Just tell me, you know, if my season of leading and writing and singing is done, just tell me and I'll be fine with it. And a few hours later, I was feeding Maverick and giving him a bath and getting ready to go to rehearsal for Good Friday services. And I got a call from my friend who was at the Doves, and she said, Meredith, and she was like whispering. She's like, Meredith, you just won a Dove Award. And I was like, what? She's like, you just tied with Chris Tomlin for the worship song of the year. And I'm like, how is that possible? Like, because I'm not being modest when I say I shouldn't have won. And I realized that, but I won the Dove Award, and then she calls me back 5 minutes later. She's like, you just won another one. I'm like, what is happening? And I just start bawling because I'm like, God, you haven't forgotten about me. You're not finished with me, and you didn't have to do that, but you gave me 2 gold birds to prove it. You know? Like, it was just a really sweet thing. And you know, we do go through seasons where we doubt, like, God, have you really called me to this? But I think maybe those are the moments where we just need to search our hearts and get back to, all right, my identity isn't tied to my calling. My identity is in Jesus and what he says about me. So let me start there and let me listen for what my next steps are supposed to be, you know?
Wow. Wow. Well, what a great place to end it right there with Meredith Andrews, the recording artist, the songwriter, the worship leader behind the just released EP, Faith and Wonder. Also, I just have to say the phrase, 2 gold birds to prove it, is one of my favorite things that's ever been spoken on this show before.
I'm glad you like that. Awesome.
Seriously, thank you so much for your time today. I know that you have a super busy existence there and the kids have been after you today, but thank you so much for taking the time with us.
You're so welcome. Yeah, I'm actually hiding in the bathroom with the door locked right now, so you're going to find me any minute.
I know that.
But it's been my privilege.
Oh, it's been ours. But I know the music is available wherever fine music is sold. But if people do want to learn more about you and start the journey of checking out the songs and the EP, where should they start?
In iTunes or Apple Music, Spotify. My website is meredithandrews.com. You can find me on Instagram, just at Mere Music, M-E-R-E Music. Also, that's my handle on Twitter. Facebook, just facebook.com/MeredithAndrews. I think that covers it.
Well, one more time. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work, Meredith.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.